My message is titled this morning, In an Upside Down World, You Can Live Right Side Up. Amen? Now, I know sometimes it's not easy. And there's times, folks, that we get so overloaded and so just so many things is coming against us that we just feel this anxiety in us. Just the other day, I was just so many things going on right now, and I told my wife, I said, look, I'm only one person, and I just needed God to touch me. I just needed God to help me. So many things, somebody wants this done and that done, and I mean, I'm just, sometimes I can't remember the days. But God is always there for us. Come on. He's never slack. Amen. And he's always there. And you got to just say, God, I need you right now. God, I know you're in control. And I need you now to help me. Come on. He's always there. Amen. So we're not going to read right yet, but if you can turn your Bibles in Zechariah chapter 1. Let's just ask God right now to speak to us here today. Heavenly Father, I love you. I praise you, God, and I thank you for your goodness, your mercy. God, you're always faithful. God, we can trust in you. We can believe in you. Right now, God, today, I want you to touch each one that are here. God, help them, Lord, God, to hear your word, God, and apply it to their life. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In an upside down world, you can live right side up. You know, it may be the most important and the consequential question ever uttered in the history of humanity was when Pilate's three word question, he asked Jesus, what is truth? What is truth? And in his novel, 1984, George Orwell coined a term, double think. You see, he did this to describe the phenomenon of rejecting things that we know to be true or accepting things that we know to be false in order to fit in with our peers and with a party or affinity of different groups. And while George Orwell was writing fiction, folks, he was revealing a truth that hits close to home. All of us, from time to time, tell ourselves things that we know aren't true. Come on. And most of the time, these little fictions that we pass off as truth don't come from a place of malice. It is the opposite. And we tell ourselves stories about why one grocery store is better than another grocery, amen, or why this brand of car is superior to this other brand of car. You know what I'm talking about. Or this ball, our ball team is better than any ball team in the league. And that's simply a part of who we are. And we tell ourselves these things in order to build a sense of identity or character. Can you give me a little more monitor, please? But these aren't the only lies that the world tries to trick itself into believing. Things like one more credit card won't bankrupt me. Or one innocent little flirtation at the office won't hurt my marriage. You see, folks, God doesn't really love me. We tell ourselves that sometimes when we're going through things. I just talked to somebody not too long ago, said they were angry at God because of some things in their life. And we tell ourselves that God doesn't love us. And then before we know it, the very things of which we've convinced ourselves of turn out to be the lies that destroy us. And although we are acquainted today with this type of thinking, it isn't new thinking. in the days of Zephaniah, the people of Israel got into the habit of convincing themselves that persecutions were their perceptions were true. I'm sorry, their perceptions were true, and facts were false. You see, folks, they said God doesn't care about us. God is off doing other things. And what business is it of God's how we conduct ourselves? What God doesn't know won't hurt him. These are the things they were trying to believe. And we can't trust God to protect us, they said. We've got to take charge and protect ourselves. Come on. We're there sometimes, aren't we, folks? Well, God's not going to take care of us, so I got to do it myself. God won't make us happy, they mocked. And our mansions and our wealth and our jobs and all these things, our power over people, these are the things that's going to make us happy. Zephaniah did what most prophets do and spoke the unwelcome and the hard-hitting truth to people who were convinced otherwise. You see, the voice of God rushes forth hotly from the lips of Zephaniah. And he said in Zephaniah 1, verse 12 through 18, I will search with lanterns in Jerusalem's darkest corners to punish those who sit complacent in their sins. They think the Lord will do nothing to them, either good or bad. So their property will be plundered. Their homes will be ransacked. They will build new homes, but never live in them. They will plant vineyards, but never drink wine from them. The terrible day of the Lord is near. Swiftly it comes, a day of bitter tears, a day when even strong men will cry out. It will be a day when the Lord's anger is poured out, a day of terrible distress and anguish, a day of ruin and desolation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet calls and battle cries. Down go the walled cities and the strongest battlements. Because you have sinned against the Lord, I will make you group around like the blind. Your blood will be poured into the dust and your bodies will lie rotting on the ground. And your silver and gold will not save you on that day of the Lord's anger, for the whole land will be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. Zephaniah's prophecy is very clear that it all but slaps us in the face, folks. You see, the people of Zephaniah's day thought that God was an irrelevant relic of bygone era, and his supremacy has once and for all been eclipsed by the attainment of the principle of human knowledge. You see, people who lived in Zephaniah's day considered themselves free to do and act as they pleased, looking out chiefly for number one, looking out for themselves, and then and only, and maybe if they got around to it, they might consider doing something for somebody else. Because I'll do it because it makes me feel good. Kind of sound familiar like our day? Zephaniah proclaims the truth that people in his day and our own have exchanged for a lie. Life is beyond our control. And the more that we try to control it, the more uncontrollable life becomes. And what is a Christian supposed to do, folks? We live in a society that is upside down. Now, I like scary rides. When I go to Cedar Point, I like the big rides. I don't know why. I guess I'm just crazy. You know, your heart comes up in your throat. But I want to ride them. And I like these. And I have rode these rides, and they'll turn you upside down and every which way during the ride. But when the ride is finished, You sometimes have trouble focusing and getting your balance and strength out again. Now, it's been a while since I rode those rides. I may think different if I ever went back up there now. I'm older. But that's what it does. It'll turn you upside down, spin you around, roll you this way and that way. It's crazy. And then when you get off, you got to get your balance. And when the ride is finished, you sometimes have trouble focusing, getting your balance. And sometimes it's hard to determine which way to walk. And I think that's what has happened in our society that we live in today. Everything has been turned upside down. It has been turned upside down morally, ethically, physically, and we're living in a very bizarre time, folks, that have produced massive fear and confusion in people's lives. And also, our society is drowning in a sea of lies. Lies about virtually everything. And lies on top of fear, lies on top of confusion, create an almost fatal insecurity and devastating chaos. And we have little confidence in believing that politicians and health officials and social activists and media and frankly even some religious people. We have been lied to so constantly, nothing is basically right side up. And it's hard, folks, to live right side up in an upside down world. But you can live right side up if you want to. You have to determine, I'm going to do what's right. I don't care anybody else thinks. I don't care what kind of peer pressure you put on me. I don't care because my God is in control. You see, folks, they can come at you in your jobs. They can come at you in your neighborhoods. They come at you in every which way but loose, folks. But you got to determine that my God is in control, and I'm not bowing to your lies. I'm not bowing to your threats. You're not going to make me bow. The only one I bow to is my God. You can live right side up if you want to. Society has no vision of how God looks at the system that we live in. Society sees everything totally different than what God expects us to look at it. Amen. Society is a proper, they think it's proper to kill the unborn babies just because the parents do not want the responsibility of raising that child. See, society thinks it's proper to condemn and restrict and ever eliminate the Bible believing and teaching church of God. It is acceptable by our society for a child to make their own decision as though they were adults. And folks, they can choose what is beneficial for to them physically, morally, and emotionally. That's an upside down world. You see, they can't even choose. Society thinks it's okay for children to choose a lifestyle that is completely opposed to the family belief system. Society thinks it's proper to allow a perpetrator to have freedom to continue doing his or her crimes and or any other misdemeanor they choose. In most situations, it is depriving of personal rights to restrain an individual from doing their own desire, regardless if it is infringing on others' rights or not. Society thinks any and all sin should be looked at as a choice while restraining the only freedom to truthfully preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And society says that right may not always be a right to everyone, and the individual can decide for himself what is right and what is wrong for himself. They think it is acceptable by society that government officials can engage themselves in any conduct and not have to answer to the public. You see, it is accepted by our society that religion can be determined by society whether it is legitimate or not. And when we look at anything from our own surroundings or our own ability, folks, we have a distorted view, and it won't appear like that, like it does to God. And when God is given the total freedom, folks, to perform His promises and His will in our lives, then everything will begin to seem right side up. Amen? But remember, society will view it as being upside down. In Proverbs chapter 3, 5 through 10, it said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in time in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be heal that to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with His first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out in new wine." You see, the scripture tells us that there is only one, there is a way which every child of God can live a successful and accepted to God, folks, even though the surroundings that are around you may not be conveniently accepted of these things. Understand again, notice what the scripture said in Proverbs 3:10. "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall burst out with new wine." You see, here in verse 10, this is acceptable, folks, for 2021. Amen? This was scripture was then, but is it still good for us today? Amen? Full barns and full wine presses, plenteous, more than enough. Trust your God. Don't let the world put its peer pressure on you to do what it wants you to do. Trust your God. Amen. Well, if I lose my job, trust your God. Come on. He's big enough to help you. Amen. He will give you plenteous. You do what God tells you to do, and He will bless you. Trust your God. How many of you would consider that to be living right side up, folks? When you trust God, He says, "If you just trust me, I'll take care of you. Your barns will be full and plenteous." Come on. Now, we know we don't have barns. All right. But that was how they had things back then. Today, God's going to keep money in your account. Come on. Can you trust your God, folks? Can you believe in Him? Don't let the world put the pressure on you to do what they want you to do. See, even if the whole society is upside down, we, the children of God, can live right side up. Now, there are areas of life which you must make this work for you. We have to trust God before anything else. Okay? Folks, I'm telling you, you got to trust God before you trust anything else. Amen? Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." They don't leave any room for anything else, folks. "And lean not." Here's a lot of times where, "Oh, I trust God," but yet we lean to our own understanding. It says, "Lean not unto thine own understanding." Yeah, but Pastor, see, I have people come and they'll ask me questions sometimes, and I'll say, "Well, have you tried?" Yeah, but there's always that but, and I know everybody's got one. That's you're leaning to your own. Yeah, but Pastor, well, do you believe the Word of God? Yeah, but trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. The English word trust in the Hebrew means be confident or sure. Be bold, confident, secure, sure, careless, confidence, hope, trust. You see, a very interesting word in this definition. Careless. Now, how would you apply that in trusting? You see, Christians who put total trust in the Lord will appear to other people to be careless in their practice and in their thinking. Come on now, as Christians, folks, we do things and the world thinks we're nuts. Why do you go to church all the time? Why do you pay tithes? Why do you do this? They think we're careless. Now listen, all the stuff that the world's trying to put on you and all the pressure they're trying to put on you, with all this stuff going on today, and you're hearing it more and more, they're careless. They're the enemy. Come on. You guys are getting quiet on me here. Come on. Are we awake here? Do we stand up and do some jumping jacks or something? The world thinks we're careless. The world thinks we're crazy. I don't care. I don't care what the world thinks. I know what God has done for me, and I know God is going to take care of me in the future. He's took care of me before. He'll take care of me again. Amen? I don't care what the world thinks. Folks, we need to stand on principle. We need to stand on the Word of God. Amen? And don't buckle. Don't give in to your own understanding. When you trust God, folks, you don't give in to what you think. That's your own understanding, what you think. See, when you start looking at what you think, that's where you're getting in trouble. And that's where you're going to get in trouble. All right? You know anybody in the Bible that leaned on their own understanding? We're still paying for it today. Huh? Anybody? Give me a name. How about Abraham? Eve? Come on. Abraham thought he was going to help God out. God promised him to be a father of many nations, a great nation. As many as the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. Did he not get God telling that? His wife comes in and says, here, I'm not getting pregnant. Take my handmaid. Well, I guess I can. My own understanding of that seems right. I'll help God out. And you know that the Jews and the Arabs have been fighting ever since. That was the birth of the Arab nation. Leaning on his own understanding. Now, God still loved him and still blessed him and helped him through these things. But still, folks, when we lean on our own understanding, that's where we get in trouble. Right? So we got to trust in God. Get yourself into the Word. Get yourself tall in your leadership and talking. Hey, what do you think about this? I don't want to make the wrong decision. I want God's will in my life. I want my barns to be full. So when we do these things, the world, we appear to be careless to the world, not to make a backup provision in the event God didn't come through. Now listen, I'm not telling you not to be, you know, you need to do things, you need to take care of certain things and stuff like that. God won't do for us what we can do for ourselves, folks. But we got to trust God in the overall scheme. So we need to have an understanding. God, help me to understand what I need to do and where I need to trust you. So we appear careless. But to a sinner, folks, it looks careless. But to a dedicated Christian, it is just trusting in the Lord. And when you announce to be to a godless society that you're going to just live totally by faith, they're going to call you crazy. They're going to call you careless. So if Christians really place their faith and their trust in God, according to the Word of God, everything else we think, we are careless. Everybody else thinks we're careless. Our assurance must be in God and in God alone. And when we say God plus man, that's when we limit God. Right? God may and probably will use man to bring about his desire for us. But man is only a delivery instrument and not the source of the supply. what we are talking about, folks, trusting God before anything else. Trust has two applications here. Number one, faith. Trusting in God will require faith in God. He says, with all thine heart. That removes your own capability from the matter. Right? Nothing you can do will make it any better or more promising. It must all come from God. Trust means that you are going to leave the whole matter in God's hands. Whatever the outcome is, you will accept it as God doing His own will. And this means to trust God more than you would you trust your retirement plan. Amen. More than you trust your employer. More than you trust your own ability. Do you want full barns and full wine presses? Then you have to trust in God. And he also says, lean not to thy own understanding. If we are leaning on self, then we are not trusting in God with all of our heart. And so here is the catch to this, folks. You must accept the truth that everything about your understanding will get you into deep trouble. Can you accept that? Anything about your own understanding will get you in trouble. Just ask the person who leaned on his own understanding. That word lean means to support oneself or to rely or rest upon. We are not to rely on or support ourselves with our own understanding. Our understanding is carnal and it is influenced by what? It is influenced by the world. And we said that the word trust has applications. The first one is faith, and the second is confidence. Trusting God is going to require your confidence. And it's very important. Confident that God can produce what He promises. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Confident that God will give the asked need. 1 John 5:15, and if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Without confidence, you will not trust God. See, the Lord wants you to have confidence in Him. He wants our trust in Him to be so confident that so that we don't get sweaty hands or get a nervous stomach while waiting on Him to meet our needs. By faith and trust, we can know the outcome of everything that we are faced with. We can be confident, folks, that He will do the right thing for us in each situation. And when one trusts in the Lord with all thine heart, that will remove all expectations of what man can do alone without God. So what are we talking about? Living right side up in an upside down world. For 6,000 years, man has tried to do right without God and has done nothing but get worse and worse. So there must be another way. And that way is to trust the Lord with all thine heart. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We have to trust in God. Amen. We have to commit to the Lord in all areas of our life. All areas. Proverbs 3 verse 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways. Again, it doesn't leave room for anything else. In all thy ways. Ways means a course of life or mode of action. conversation, custom, manner? Do we trust God in all of our ways? Amen. Do we commit them all to Him? See, in every way, acknowledge Him is the one who will supply, the one who will protect you. You must acknowledge Him as your only source of trust and supply. Most every decision made by most Christians is made with some kind of reservation and some area of designation. The reason for this is that God begins to demand more than we want to pay. They can back up and recant. Lord, I didn't intend for it to go this far. All right, see, sometimes we're all right. Okay, God, you can, I'll go to this point. But we know sometimes that if we commit all of our trust in God and we, in every area of our life, that I just don't want to pay that bill. Because God's going to require more. So, if only we knew what we missed when we make that decision. If only you knew what you missed when you say, God, I didn't intend for you to go this far. Folks, let God have His way. He knows what's best. And you'll never, ever regret going as far as God wants to take you. Amen? Let me give you a story that kind of help you out in this. An old beggar was invited to the house of the richest man in town for dinner. And the butler took him upstairs to the bathroom. And after bathing, he was given a suit of dinner clothes. And he looked and felt like $1 million. The only negative was he kept his old clothes in a brown paper bag. And when it came time to go to dinner table, he took the clothes with him and placed them on his lap. The serving of the meal began. The meat was passed by and he reached to get the platter of meat and his bag of old clothes fell off his lap and in reaching to pick up the sack, the meat platter was passed by him. Then came the potatoes and the same thing happened. Then the vegetables and the same thing happened again and he dropped his old clothes. And when the last serving of food was passed by and he again reached down and picked up his dirty clothes, he again missed it. And there he sat with nothing but a worthless and a dirty bag of clothes. You see, sometimes we're so concerned about what we're going to lose out on and we just keep a hold of that while God's blessings are just passing us by. You see, folks, when you put your faith and your trust in God for all of your needs, He'll take you places you never dreamed of. Let go of those dirty things. Let go of the things that are so important to you. Many Christians are just like that beggar. They hold on to their old possessions that are worthless and pass up all that God has to offer them. Oh, what we miss, folks, when we hang on to the old things of this life. We have to acknowledge Him in all of our ways. That word ways means a course of life or a mode of action. Let God route your course in life. Let Him direct you in the proper areas to go. Amen? Amen. If God is in control of everything, let Him direct your paths. Your conversation, in Webster's definition of conversation, is general course of manner, behavior, deportment, especially as it respects morals. Amen. Remember what we are talking about here, committing all of our ways unto the Lord. Your conversation is one of those ways. Have you ever committed your behavior and your general course of manners to the Lord? In every area of your life. Customs, that word customs means frequent or common use or practice or frequent reputation of the same act. Hence, way, established manner, habitual practices. Folks, we can't call ourselves living for God if we've been living and still doing the things that some of the things that we did in the world. We have to commit all of our ways to the Lord. Most customs today is that of self-controlling our life. I talk to people sometimes who, a lot of times in praying and asking God to fill them with the Holy Ghost and stuff, and you know, they've been hurt in life. And when you're hurt, your emotions come forth, and you get to a point sometimes where I don't want anybody to ever hurt me again, and I don't want them to see me hurt. And so you learn to control your emotions. One of the things we got to learn, folks, if you want God to bless you and you want God to fill you with the Holy Ghost, you got to give that to God. And that's why forgiveness is such an important thing. You see, it's not for that person. It's for you. And we have to commit everything to God. Let Him control our life. Trust in Him. Amen? So, some Christians have not handed the reins over to God for total control. And until you do that, things will go on likely like they were, and even maybe possibly get worse. Is that what you're wanting? Amen. We have to give our manner. The word manner is a form or method of performing or executing. The Bible says, He shall direct thy paths. Are you willing to let God take you places? See, we are so used to wanting this is my little world. This is how I do things. So what? You think God cares about how you do things? God cares about you doing what He wants. But Pastor, I've done this for years. So what? And look at the mess you've made. Come on. That's why we all usually hit the old altar, because of the mess we made out there. But yet, it would come in here and God touches us, fills us with the Holy. We feel great. But yet let me take that with me and, oh, I got to have that. And instead of leaving it here at the altar, we take it back with us. Oh, wait. I forgot this. God's like, you're supposed to give that all to me. You said you repented. Repent means to turn around. In the Greek army, they say repent and they turn and go the other way. And here you tell God, I repent of my sins. I don't want to live that way. Forgive me. I want to live what you want. We pick up stuff and take it with us. We have to leave it. We have to totally trust in God in every aspect of our life, in our conversation, in our manners of thinking, in every area of our life. Isaiah 30, verse 21, all thine ears shall hear the word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left hand. So in living for God, it's like God says, turn here. We got to turn. Oh, turn left here. We have to hear the word of the Lord and allow God to speak to us. Think about that, folks. A voice whispering in your ear, instructing you where to take every step in life. Take this road. Make this decision. Buy this item. Spend your money for this. How blessed and sweet that would be when God directs you. His direction will lead you to happiness. His direction will lead you to success. Your direction will lead you farther in what you now have. What do you want? What do you want? Committing comes before direction of our path. You see, folks, if we don't commit it to God, He's not going to twist your arm and say, do this. So if you want God's direction in your life, you have to commit to Him. And He'll take you seriously. God, now listen, there's some things God's going to tell us to do that we don't feel comfortable in. Are you willing to do it? Here's what you got to think about that. You see, a lot of times, and I've talked to a lot of people over the years, well, I don't know what to say to this person. You feel God tugging you, talk to him about me. Well, I don't know what to say. You got to trust in the Lord. And there's a lot of times, here's a little trick, okay? You don't say, oh, hold on a minute. You go over here, get in your car. Oh, Heavenly Father! Have this big, long prayer. No. You just, as you're right there, and you feel in God, say, okay, God, you speak through me to so-and-so. I'm the mouthpiece. Okay? Always remember this, folks. We are the body of Christ. He spent 33 and a half years on this earth, and he went back to his Father. We are the body. So what the things that he did, he says, greater things than these shall ye do. So God expects us to witness to people. God expects us to lay hands on people, see them healed. God expects all this stuff. We can do it. We just got to claim it. It's for us to do. We are the body of Christ. We go where he wants us to go. And he will help you. Now, let me tell you something. There's many a times, folks, I've been talking to somebody, and later on when they're gone, I'm like, where did that come from? God, you are awesome. That was totally God speaking through me. And it's a great feeling to know that you listened to God and allowed him to use you to be that mouthpiece or to be that hands to help somebody. God says, hey, just go help that person. Or go take that person this, or do this, or do that. And when you allow God, and the more you do it, the more you understand that voice. Huh? If your mom called you on the phone and didn't say Mary Lou on the phone, or mom, or whatever you have, and she didn't tell you who she was, would you know her? Why? Because you know your mom's voice, don't you? You've known that. Because you've been around her for years. And that's how God is, folks. The more you allow God to speak to you, and you see, sometimes you're unsure. Oh, God, is this just me? Well, if you really ask yourself the question, normally you'd say, I wouldn't do that. So it has to be God. And when you do it and you see God bless, and then it gets easier. The next time it happens, well, I've heard that voice before. You see? And you get to know that voice of the Lord. And you walk in that voice. It's an awesome thing to live in. Because I know that voice. That's God telling me to do this. But the devil don't want you to look at it that way. He doesn't want you to listen to that voice. He tells you, well, you got to listen, if you don't take care of it yourself, nobody's going to do it for you. So you got to do it. You've always had to take care of yourself. Yeah, but devil, I made a commitment with God at an altar, and I said, God, forgive me my sins. I want to change the way I live. Get thee behind me, Satan. See, Jesus didn't call Peter Satan. He was saying those ways, which goes against the things of God, is the ways of Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. Amen? It's important to hear him and get to know him. So, committing to God to do what he tells you to do comes before God giving you direction. Because he wants the commitment first. So don't overestimate your own ability. Proverbs 3:7 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. The sooner we realize that we are not capable of making our own decisions, the better off we're going to be. So when I make my own decisions and insist on my own way, I always end up upside down. Come on. Right? And upside down, we're confused. We feel defeated. Folks, if we are in God's will, we won't have to ask him to bless it. Think about it. If we are in God's will, we won't have to ask God to bless it. He will bless it without us asking. Your flesh will make the wrong turns in life. And you will go with the easiest course of life and most attractive. And those ways that are not always best. Right? Bible tells us that the you know, there's a narrow path. a narrow path. It doesn't look easy. That's why people go to the wide road. It looks easier over here. That's just human nature. But God's ways doesn't always look the best, but it is the best. And if you allow God to choose for you, how much happier you will be. Folks, be a good steward with all that you have. And this may be the number one stopper of all Christian success. That of failing to be a good steward with all of God's substance. Come on. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with all thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Did you know that if you break this requirement, you remove all of God's obligation to provide for you? Think about it. If you break this requirement, then God is not obligated to provide for you. Honor the Lord with all of thy substance. What has God given you? Did God give you that job? Then you need to be faithful to it until God gives you another job. Did God give you that paycheck? Well, I worked for it. Did God give you the ability to work for it? Then you need to honor God with your substance. Do you want God to provide for you? Then you need to honor God in all of that. Did God give you that car? Did God give you that house to live in? Honor God in all. Think about it, folks. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with his first fruits of all thine increase. Are you a good steward? Are you honoring God with all of your substance? Do you faithfully give the first fruits of all of your increase? You see, if not, then you may just as well prepare to continue to live upside down, because it's not going to get better, it's going to get worse. We also have to enjoy the right side up life. We need to learn to enjoy what God has blessed us in. Amen? We need to learn. There's just, you know, sometimes, folks, some people can be negative no matter what comes, what good comes their way. You know, you're feeling good, and you're going to go and be with family and friends and all that stuff, and you pick up so-and-so, and they're like, hey, how you doing today? Okay. You looking forward to this? I guess. Did you just eat a pickle or something? You know, because you're done. Think about it. Some people, they're not happy. They don't want to live in a joyful life. God has blessed us. We need to be thankful for that. It's a beautiful day. I guess. Enjoy the right side up life. Proverbs 3:10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy press shall be burst out with new wine. You see, I would rather wake up tomorrow knowing my barns are full and my wine presses are filled with plenty. And this is the life God wants each of us to have. I'm not talking about the health and the wealth life that charismatics try to cram down our throats. I'm not talking, folks, but there are... There is a promise that God will provide plenty for his children. And this is an example of it. There is still one aspect of this whole precept that we didn't read yet. And it's found in Proverbs 3:11-12. It says, my son, despise not, oh, here we go, the chastening of the Lord. Ooh. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, here's the key, folks. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Our failures to live right side up brings a consequence, brings chastening. And if we fail to do that, then our chastening is to have suffered the consequences of not living right side up. Living upside down brings chastening. Sometimes I look around and see so many Christians living upside down, and I think if only they would do what he says, they could enjoy the right side up life. Where are you today? Is your life upside down? Is your future about as bleak as it could be? Let's stand here. Where are you today? Is your life upside down? Does the future make you cringe? Let me ask you something. Why don't you let God turn things around for you? Why don't you let God turn it right side up? He wants to bless you. He wants to help you. He wants to correct you. You see, folks, I want God's correction. That way I know that I'm loved. Amen? Listen, for a good parent, they don't like to chasten. They don't like to spank their kids. They don't like to correct them. But you do it because you don't want them to be a brat. Because nobody likes a brat. I've always said that. Nobody likes a brat. And I know it's not the kid's fault. That's why I always say I'd like to beat the parent. Because it's their fault. But see, folks, we have a good parent in Jesus. And he does what's right. And when we need correction, we get it. And living in that upside down world is God saying, look, if you just follow what I'm telling you, if you just take my lead, if you just take my correction instead of getting mad at me and screaming at me. Sometimes we, why God? It's because he loves you. And he's trying to get you awake and say, listen, that's not the direction I wanted. I wanted you to go this way. You took a wrong turn here. And most time God doesn't even have to tell us. We know we took the wrong turn, didn't we? Man, why did I listen to God go this way? Listen, I just want to open this altar up today. And you may not be here in your upside down world, but you can just at least come up here and say, God, I thank you for living right side up. But I just want to open this altar to both sides. If you're upside down, you can come up here and say, God, help me to get right back on the track I need to be. But if you're living good and God is blessing you, come up and say, God, I just want to thank you for your direction in my life. Can we come to the altar? Bring somebody with you today. Let's thank him. Let's praise him. Let's seek him. Amen. Let God have his way. Hallelujah.